That's a concerning report, I suspect, on the face of it. What did they have in the consumer reports about the lead levels in protein supplements?
Yeah, look, absolutely. It is concerning because there is no safe level of lead intake. So what you're trying to do is keep levels of lead in your blood as low as possible, as well as in the foods you're eating. And that's one of the things is whilst food also contains it, we can also get it from our environment. So, you know, from gas emissions, from paint, from a whole lot of things. So it's not just food. And what this study found was that 2/3 of the samples they tested actually had levels higher in it than the daily recommended intake, depending on how much you consume. But given protein powders for people that are going to the gyms is something they normally consume daily or twice daily and will stick to the same brand, it means that if the brand you're consuming is high, your intake is likely to be high over a long period of time.
Mm. I was foolishly under the assumption they might have been putting lead in to make bodybuilders heavier, but I guess that's not the case. How has lead been making its way in?
Look, it just gets into the food supply. So if it's in the water supply, it will be then absorbed into the food and we will consume it through the food. So that's the way. It's not an intentional contamination. Mostly it's unintentional contamination of it from different crops from around the world. And, you know, there are different levels of lead in soil around the world depending on how well they've looked after and controlled lead emissions from different factories.
Mm. Is there a chance this affects here in Australia, you know, global supply chain of these brands, etc.?
Yeah, look, all of the samples that they tested, all the protein powders they tested are available online. So anyone can consume them. Whether they're available in stores is something that we're not certain about. It depends on the individual store. But the likelihood is that there will be a range of lead in different protein powders wherever you are, wherever they're manufactured. And also potentially if they're getting the original source from overseas, then, you know, you have the same risk as if you are buying that product from overseas. So it's always a risk and people need to be mindful of it. But the problem is we can't tell how much lead's in a protein powder without getting analysed. And even if you did, you would have to get each batch tested because it could vary from batch to batch depending on where that producer gets their protein source from. And yeah, they also found it in vegan protein powders and also organic protein powders. Yeah. As well as animal-based ones. So they've all got it in it.
Walk us through in a little bit greater detail some of the health impacts that come from lead. I understand it's particularly bad potentially during pregnancy.
Absolutely. Its greatest impact is on the brain and the nervous system. And for children that are exposed to lead, and we saw that in Port Pirie here in South Australia with the lead smelters, that it can cause cognitive and physical development problems. And so you see a lot of learning disabilities, behavioural problems. But it doesn't just affect children. It's also, you know, a problem for adults. It increases the risk of anemia. It causes joint pain, kidney damage and nerve damage as well. And that can all lead to muscle weakness. So it is concerning, but particularly concerning for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Of interest, the International Agency for Research on Cancer also has listed it as a possible carcinogen.
Yeah. We don't have data, I understand, for the lead levels and protein powder sourced and manufactured in Australia. Is there a chance that might be contaminated as well?
Yeah. There will be some level of lead in all our foods that we consume, and particularly protein powders. I guess the reason it's more problematic in protein powders, as we said before, is that someone will pick the one brand and consume it all and continually, you know, once or twice daily. Whilst with food, we have different sorts of foods. We source them from different places. And so it is unlikely that you eat a lot of one food from just one source in your diet.
Yeah. And what's your advice to those who use the supplements regularly?
Yeah, look, and it's not just because of lead. Normally we say a food-first approach for getting extra protein is the best way to go. But we must remember that close to 99% of healthy Australians consume more than enough protein. So most of us don't need extra protein. And even if you are training, you know, the levels we consume are quite high for such a, you know, wealthy country. But if you feel that you need more protein, and you can always hop onto an app that can assess your diet by you pop in your diet and it will tell you how much protein you have. Even if you do need more, you are always much better off getting it from a food source, because you're also going to get all the other nutrients that come with that food, which are critical for health. So if you're drinking milk and yogurt, you're getting calcium, you're getting vitamin B12, you're getting the probiotics in the fermented dairy like yogurt and cheese. If you eat fish, you get omega-3 fats, and fish is really good for our heart as well as our brain health.
Yep.
If you're eating red meat, you get the iron and the zinc. And if you're getting your protein from plant sources like lentils and beans and nuts, you also get lots and lots of antioxidants and lots of fiber. So we always recommend having food first, so you get it from its natural original source with all the other nutrients that we know of and those that we don't know of yet that are good for health.